Well, good morning once again. Is everybody making it? You freezing to death out there? All right. Glad that you're here with us this morning. Hope you feel Christ's presence in this place, His love of His people. I'm glad that you're here. If you are visiting with us this morning, I invite you, in the seat pocket in front of you is a blue card that I invite you to fill out. You don't have to do that, but would love to know that you were here. At the end of the service, I will be out in the foyer. You can bring the blue card to me. I'd love to meet you, and I've got a free gift for you. If you don't want to, a lot of people don't want to meet me, but if you don't want to meet me, you can just leave your card in the seat pocket there. If you want to be on our email list, you can add your email to that card and check the box, and we'll get you added to our email list. Don't forget, we've got a Wiley Methodist app. And also keep the registration slips going. I think I've got most of the administrative stuff done there. Now, reminder, Billy mentioned it earlier, but next Sunday I will be doing a discovery class in the fellowship hall at 9 o'clock. If you want to know more about our church and again just kind of getting to know one another, please come. There will be daycare or childcare provided for you, so would love to have you come and be a part of that. If you will turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Kind of setting this up, the Apostle Paul's, he writes this letter to Timothy, his disciple, that as a young man, and Paul is coming to the end of his ministry, the end of his life, and he's penning these words to Timothy, and I think he has something for us to hear today. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, he says. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you and we trust your promises where two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be there with us. So we trust that you're here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to now speak to us. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was first beginning the ministry, is before I was on staff here, it's been a while ago. I spent about 6 or 9 months doing evangelism. I really felt the Lord was calling me to go and share the good news, and I did that in many, many different churches, and I spoke to graduating seniors and all sorts of different, anybody that would invite me, I would come and I would share the good news of Jesus for several months there. And I got a phone call from a lady, and I've told this story before, but it's so relevant to what we're going to be talking about today. I got a phone call from a lady that invited me to come and preach at her church, and I said, "What church is this?" And she gave me the church's name, which I'm not going to share. But it was a Christian church, it had Christian in the name, and I said, "Well, I'm not familiar with your church. Would you tell me a little bit about your church?" And she said, "Well, we're a Bible-believing church." And in my mind, the little bell went, ding, ding, that's okay. They believe in the Bible. That's good. And she said, we're these assorted people from all these backgrounds, and we're Bible-believing. And I said, "Well, I'd love to come and share with you." So I got there that Sunday morning, didn't know anybody. And I walked in, and this man had been assigned to greet me and get me acclimated, and he handed me a bulletin, and I've kept it all these years. And I began to read through the bulletin, and I read right up at the front end of their order of service, they were going to recite what they call the statement of being, B-E-I-N-G. I'd never heard of a statement of being. I wonder what that's all about. So I began to read it, and here's what it said. We believe there is only one power and one presence in the universe, and that power and presence is God. We believe that Jesus is our brother and way-shower, and that Christ is the divine man. We believe the kingdom of heaven is within each individual, and we are all one. We believe that evil is a misuse of man's consciousness and can be overcome with good. And then if I flipped over a little bit, and there was another place, it was their basic premises. There is only one presence and one power, God the good, omnipotent. The second one is the divinity of humankind is essentially good. And so I'm reading this stuff, and I'm like, I don't believe that. I don't believe a lot of this stuff. And I thought, Lord, what have you gotten me into? And it's always the Lord's fault, isn't it? And so I went to the restroom. That's what you always do when you're in crisis. I'm just saying. Okay, I guess in the Bible, pretty sure. So I went to the restroom, and I shut the door, and I was like, Lord, what do I do? Help. Because I don't want to, I don't even want to offend anyone, and this wasn't my church, and I just felt like the Lord impressed upon my heart, just tell them the truth. Just tell them the truth, and basically I'll take care of the rest. And so I went back out, and I this man who kind of was greeting me, they were very nice to me, and I went back, and I said, sir, I just want you to know that I don't know that we believe the same things, you guys and me. And I don't want to be offensive to your church. Y'all have invited me here, and I don't want to, be ugly to anybody. And here's what he said. I'll never forget this. He said, well, no matter what you tell us, we will not be offended. Now, I want that to soak in a second. No matter what you say, no matter what you preach, no matter what word you bring to us today, it's okay. He said, we believe that we're all, and you're going to start getting a gist of maybe who I'm talking about. We're all on our own journey, and we all have different paths. And your path is your path. Your truth is your truth. My path may be totally different. There's nothing you can say to us that would offend us. And I just, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, man. And I began to think about that. I've thought about that many times over the years. And I've thought, I could have said, hey, unless you're a man over 6 feet tall that's kind of balding, okay, bald, okay, I'm just not balding, bald, you're going to hell. I could have said that, right? If anything I said to them was okay, if anything I said was true, because you see, without truth, then everything is true. I am beginning a sermon series this morning that will be having it for about 4 or 5 weeks. And quite honestly, I would rather have my head stitched to the carpet than to preach on these issues. But it's just, I the Lord convicted me a while back that if the church doesn't speak, the only voice we're hearing is our culture. If the church doesn't speak on these issues. So the sermon series is called Holding Steady in Uncertain Times. Holding Steady in Uncertain Times. And is anybody but me noticing that we are in uncertain times? I'm watching TV or I'm seeing some, Cheryl and I, where it's like you can't get away. I mean, if you plug in the TV or you plug in the radio or any of that, you can't get away from it. We've lost our mind. Our culture has lost our mind. Right is wrong and wrong is right, or it's a toss-up. It doesn't matter. Holding steady in uncertain times, and today's message is heeding sound counsel. Now, this passage, which I've preached on before, this passage, Paul is in prison, and he's writing this letter to Timothy. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm in prison, that's not the most encouraging time. But Paul was steadfast, and he was still speaking into the life of this young Timothy. And here's the, I want you to kind of get a picture as these two verses, verse 3 and 4, kind of get a picture of maybe the times that Paul and Timothy were living in at the moment. That Paul says this, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Anybody, is this anything sounding familiar yet? Amen. Instead, to suit their own desires, in other words, if it's good for me, I'm just going to make something up. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Now, I want to say that what a great country we would live in if you could go to church and the preacher would justify your sin from the pulpit. What isn't that good stuff? Isn't that good stuff? I mean, it's like the sin we have in our life. No, you should feel convicted. We should feel convicted of our sin. But if we can go to a church, what he's saying is you gather around a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. It's like, oh, it's not bad to lie. That's okay. I mean, we're all essentially good. That's what that statement of being said. We're all good at heart. No, we're not. Scripture tells us. No, we're sinners. We're messed up. We're broken. We need a Savior. We need to repent. I mean, Jesus launched his ministry. Repent. John the Baptist proclaimed Jesus was coming to announcing this kingdom. Repent. We need to be convicted. But no, a time will come when we gather around. It's like people, these teachers, these people in authority, maybe from a pulpit that actually says, it's okay. That's the way God made you. It's okay. It's okay to look at pornography. It's okay. It's okay to do all of these things. And our itching ears go, huh? It goes on to say, they will turn their ears away from the truth. That seems to indicate that there is something known as truth. Which, if there's truth, what, by definition, what else is there? Lies. So we turn away from the truth and turn aside to myths, to lies. Man, I tell you, your pastor, I have to fight sometimes for my joy. I'm just being real with you this morning. I have to fight sometimes for my joy because it seems like this stuff is just being injected into us. And our young people don't know any different. Our young people think this is just the way it is. Some of us with a little bit of age on us, like myself, we kind of go, no, it's not the way it is. It's the way it's becoming. It's not the way it is. It's not the way it's been. It's not, certainly not God's heart. We are experiencing this today. What Paul wrote to Timothy, we're seeing it. I read just this weekend. I read the Methodists are fixing to have their turn in the hot seat. But the Episcopal Church, the same Episcopal head of the Episcopal Church that did the last royal wedding, I forget his name, he's just suspended an Episcopal priest, I believe it was in New Jersey, because he wouldn't allow same-sex unions in his place of worship. He said, no, we can't do that. He got suspended. May lose his ordination. I don't know. I just read that this weekend. In the United Methodist Church, we are in a battle for our very soul. We're in a battle for our very soul. And there are a lot of people that are Bible-believing, Bible-living United Methodists throughout the world. But man, we don't seem to have near as strong a voice as the ones who aren't. In approximately 6 weeks from today, 864 United Methodist delegates will assemble, I believe it's in St. Louis this year, will assemble at the end of February to have a special call general conference to supposedly decide issues of human sexuality and so on and so forth. And I'm like, man, we got to have a conference, and we got to have all these people from 864 delegates. And I'm like, just open the Word. Just open the Word. I'm not going to get into all the details of that. I'm starting putting the date out there on February the 10th. We're going to have an all church meeting right after worship, and I'll inform. Basically, for that is to inform and for us to be prayerful about what's coming. But we're in a not just in the this is not a United Methodist problem. I mean, we're right in the middle of it. But I want to tell you, if you think that going to a different church, a different denomination, you're going to be secluded from this problem, wake up. Because you're not. And some people, at one of the fastest growing denominations, which is really not a denomination, is the non-denominational church. That's fastest growing right now because people think they can escape this stuff in there. No. If you get up in the morning and you take a breath in this world, you can't escape it. We are all going to have to decide where we come down. Do we come down on the truth of God's Word? Or do we make it up as we go? Because if there is no truth, that's exactly what happens. We make it up as we go. So I want to just dig a little bit deeper this morning. We're going to have several weeks, and I'm going to be kind of unpacking some ways that we should be responding, how we hold steady in uncertain times. But I want to look specifically, what did Paul tell Timothy? He's saying, hey, this is going to happen. You're going to have people that, teachers that say what people want to hear, even when it's not biblical, even when it's not truth. It's like, if they want to hear it, you'll find teachers that will tell them it's okay. What do you do? So here's what Paul recommends. During uncertain times, first of all, remember who and whose you are. Now listen to me now. This is important. You are not, we shouldn't be, your allegiance should not be to the Methodist Church. It shouldn't be to me. We are not an institution. We're not a building. We are a child of God. And our allegiance should be to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's it. Seek to please Him with all your heart, and you'll be okay. You'll be okay. Remember who and whose you are. He says to Timothy, he's saying, all these things are going to happen. It's like, man, basically he's saying, the world's kind of going to go crazy. But then he says, but you, do you see how he's setting Timothy apart? So all of this stuff's going to be happening. You're going to have all these people surrounding themselves with teachers who say all of this crazy stuff that's not the truth. The turning aside from the truth, turning aside to the myths and lies. But you, there's something else for you. Do you hear that? He's not just talking to Timothy. God is talking to us. There's something else for us. Remember who you are. You are a child of God. To all, John says it this way, to all who received Him, Jesus, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have repented of your sin and you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you have been adopted into His family. You belong to Christ. And it's no longer your life. We like that part where we proclaim Jesus as Savior. Yeah, I'll take me some of that. But then, Lord means you're in charge and I'm not. Whoops. That's harder, isn't it? Savior's easy. It's like, save me, Lord. I'm a mess. Save me. But no, He wants us to let Him be Lord. Remember who and whose you are during uncertain times. Secondly, during uncertain times, stay grounded. Stay grounded. Paul says to Timothy, keep your head in all situations. In other words, and this is the part, I'm telling you, I had to fight for my joy because Sometimes I'm just like, turn off the TV. My head is going to explode. I can't read anything else about what's going on in our world because my head is going to explode. And so we can be overwhelmed with stuff. But God says, keep your head in all situations. In other words, okay, there's chaos going on out there, but I'm still Jesus. I'm still God. I have overcome the world, Jesus says. I've overcome the world. To stay grounded, we must stay rooted and grounded in God's Word. Man, I say, y'all probably really get tired of me saying this, but this is not just a paperweight. Many of you have accepted my challenge to read a chapter of Matthew every day in January, and man, if you haven't, jump in there. Jump in there with us, because God's Word is living and breathing. It's powerful, and it tells us right from wrong. It teaches us truth. It ministers to our heart. I mean, stay grounded and rooted in His Word. And I'll tell you, anything that you hear or anything that's going on, if it contradicts God's Word, it's wrong. Stay away from it. You don't have to. I've had people that will tell me, and I've actually had people that have had sin in their life, and they'll say, well, I believe the Lord told me to, leave my wife and 6 children, and you know, I believe that's the Lord's will. And I'm like, really? Really? That's the Lord's will, huh? Is that in the Word? Show me that chapter. I hadn't seen it. Stay rooted and grounded in His Word. We must not react to every shift of the wind. Now, and I promise you, the wind's blowing in a different direction every morning in our culture. It just is. Sometimes I read stuff and I'm going, no. Anybody else? Yes. Maybe you just don't say it exactly like that, but that's the way I say it. No, that somebody made that up. They didn't really do that. They didn't really say that. They don't really believe that. I mean, I sometimes I'm just going, really? But we can't react to that. We've got to stay grounded. We must remain focused on the eternal and not the immediate. You know, and again, man, these are challenges for me, and I'm trusting that there may be challenges for some of y'all. Just one way to survive is to just stick our head in the sand and hold the ground, you know, like the ostrich, and just let everything pass us by. It's like la 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 la. I don't know that's going on, you know, la la la. But if we stay informed, we really know what's going on. It's chaos, but we must remain focused on the eternal. We must seek godly wisdom and godly guidance. Now, we have to be careful that, I know most of you don't realize this, but you could ask Cheryl, I'm flawed. I don't know if you knew that. So, I mean, if you come to me and you ask me, you know, it's like I'm flesh and blood just like you are. And so are the others around one another. But I know the difference between being a good influence and being a negative influence in somebody's life. I can tell people around me, I can tell this person is a godly person, and they're trying to give me godly wisdom here. Surround yourself with that sort of person. And the ones that are dragging us down or telling us things like, well, you know, I believe that. It's like, it doesn't matter if you believe it unless God has said it. Stay grounded. We must be filled, and here's a really important one. We must be filled with hope, the hope we have in Christ. Because, again, the world is, we're a mess, guys, but God is God. He's God today. He was God yesterday. He'll be God tomorrow and the day after that and for all eternity. And Scripture tells us, I use this a lot of times at funerals, I use this passage out of 1 Thessalonians. We do not want you to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Who's he talking about? Those outside of Christ. They have no hope. There's no hope. But in Christ, we have hope, not just for eternal life, but hope that we'll survive the week. There's always hope in Christ. All the junk that's going into our denomination. It's like sometimes I get frustrated. I meet with other pastors and stuff, and sometimes I try to not, you know, just run off at the mouth all the time. But if somebody keeps asking me, I'll say what I need to say. And sometimes people, even other pastors, they're like, I just have to go, whew, man. It can be discouraging. Does anybody besides me feel like sometimes you're on an island? It's like, is nobody else here? Hello, is anybody here? I mean, I feel like that sometimes, but I know I'm not. But so that's where we have to just trust that God is with us and that we have hope. Thirdly, during uncertain times, prepare for a bumpy ride. Prepare for a bumpy ride. Because God has never promised us, what's the old song? I never promised you a rose garden. Let's do that one next week, Trevor. No, maybe not. Y'all probably didn't recognize the tune, but I'll work on it. But Paul says to Timothy, endure hardship. What does that mean? It's coming. If it's already, he's writing from prison. The culture around them, there was heresies going on. There was all sorts of things going on. And Paul, actually, 2 Timothy is kind of his death letter. Okay, he goes, if you read the whole chapter 4 of Timothy, 2 Timothy, you start seeing that's where Paul says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I mean, he's talking about, my battle on this earth is over. I mean, that's what's going on. And he knows that he's in prison, he's facing imminent death, and he says to Timothy, hey, all this chaos is going to be going on. Be prepared to endure hardship. It's going to be a bumpy ride. This world is not our home. Jesus said, in this world we will what? Have trouble. Jesus is honest. He's straight up with us. Faithfully walking with Jesus can be costly. We think that I'm just telling you, you'll hear, you know, wimpy men, you know, follow Jesus. I'm like, bull. That's bull. I think that's Greek. Bull. Look it up. It takes men and women of courage to follow Christ. Courage and conviction and staying power. Because you're swimming upstream to our culture. Prepare for a bumpy ride. It could happen, but probably in the United States of America, we probably will not be asked to give our life for our faith, but you'll face labels. We're already facing labels. If you stand up for the truth of God's word, you can be called a hater. I mean, that's upon us. All sorts of labels can be attached to us. Prepare for a bumpy ride. During uncertain times, fourth thing, focus on your mission. Focus on your mission. He says, do the work of an evangelist. Now, he's not, I don't read in Scripture where Timothy had been ordained. He was not, I mean, a professional Christian. He was not paid to be good. Like, you know the line. Go ahead and say it with me. I'm paid to be good. Come on, Patty, you're supposed to help me here. I'm paid to be good, you're good for nothing, right? Y'all haven't got that yet? I've only said it 1,000 times. I got to work on that, man. You know, but I'm just kidding, y'all. Some of y'all are pretty good. But Timothy was not a paid preacher. He was just a man of God. He's just a Christian. And he's saying, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work. We must not get sidetracked with all of this stuff. And that's one of the things that I have vowed is that no matter what's going on out there, we're going to be a kingdom-minded church, and that I'm going to be a kingdom-minded pastor. We got stuff to do. We got people to share the gospel with. Jesus said in Mark 16, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." And we see it in Matthew 28 is known as the Great Commission. It's the same, basically the same message. Go and make disciples. Go and tell the good news. We got people to share the good news with. Focus on our mission. Even though all this craziness is going on all around us. And lastly, during uncertain times, do your job. Do your job. He finishes this advice to Timothy. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Now, I didn't even know about this guy, but I've been reading and watching some. I think is it Dabo Swinney, the coach at Clemson? Yeah. Has anybody watched his end of the game press conference? Yeah. I started to play the video, but it's a little long. But this coach, they just won the national championship about a week ago. And this coach, they asked him in the press conference, you always seem to come, you're hoisting this national trophy, which normally, the guys are talking about how awesome they are and how awesome their coaches are and how awesome their team is. And Dabo Swinney, the coach of Clemson, is telling about how awesome his God is. And they asked him about his faith, and he's laying it out there. I mean, he actually wanted to pass the plate when he was done. He said that. But I was watching during the national championship game, and in the heat of the game, when you play sports, sometimes you get heated, and it's like, I think it startled everybody. The camera was on him, and he raises his voice to one of his assistant coaches, and he says, "Do your job." And I'm like, this is a godly man, but I mean, he was dead serious. Do your job. That your job is to coach the offensive line or whatever it is. It's like, do your job. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Stay focused. And God is saying, do your job. I've called you to be my ambassador. I've called you to be my ambassador to the world. Even in the midst of all of this craziness, some 27 years ago, October of 1991, I went on a walk to Emmaus. Some of y'all have been on a walk to Emmaus. Some of you haven't. That's okay. They'll let you into heaven if you haven't been on a walk to Emmaus. It's okay. But for me, that weekend was a life-changing weekend. It was a life-changing weekend. I've never been the same since that weekend. And at the end of that weekend, they gave me a cross. This is it. I've had this since October of 1991. I don't wear it around, but I just have it in my drawer, and it's very precious to me. And on the back of it, it says this. Christ is counting on you. And to end the weekend, they ask you, as they say that to you, as they hand you the cross and they say that to you, they ask you to say, "And I am counting on Christ." It's a powerful moment. It was for me. And, as we do battle against the ways of this world, the enemy, our enemy is not people, by the way. Our enemies are not those who disagree with us. That's not our enemy. Our enemy is the devil. And as we are doing battle, as we are, because that's what it is. There is a battle for the heart of us, a battle for the heart of our denomination, a battle for our culture, our government, our schools, and on and on and on. There is a battle. If you don't know it, wake up. It's happening. In the midst of that, Christ is counting on you. No life has ever been changed by an angry Christian. I have to remind myself of that all the time. No one has ever been brought to Christ in anger. Only love conquers all. You know, when Jesus was hanging on a cross, he had every right to be angry at those who had betrayed him, those who had falsely accused him, those who had beat him and whipped him and nailed him to a cross and had lifted him up to be humiliated. He had every right. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. That has to be our heart. That has to be our heart as we go forward and as we resist this tide, as we swim upstream. Christ is counting on us to be love, his love to the world. If you'd just bow your head with me. Father, I want to start by saying forgive me when I don't represent you well. Forgive me when I fail you. Forgive my anger when things, circumstances overwhelm me. Father, fill me and fill us with just love, your love. Love conquers all. Not this warm and fuzzy love where we think the world is made up of candy canes and marshmallows. Not that kind of love, but this love that is a sacrificial love where we can stand firm to the truth. But in the midst of those who disagree, we can love. Show us how to do that, Lord. Empower us to do that. Help us walk it out in uncertain times. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.